Ecclesiastes chapter 5 in your Bibles this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want you to keep that thought in mind throughout this message. Righteousness exalteth a nation. What Solomon knew as truth and wisdom, his life did not model. What happens when a nation and its connection with God breaks, or a church and its connection with God breaks? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I will try to do that. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanity, but fear thou God. There is a connection of righteousness between God and man, and all of our accomplishments are empty if that connection is cut. So I have some thoughts this morning. First of all, Solomon cut the connection. Soon after being anointed king, God came to him in a dream and said, Solomon, ask anything you want and I will give it to you. This is the creator of this universe that said, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. Solomon made one of the really smart decisions of his life. He said, give me wisdom. And because of that, God was very pleased and gave him wisdom, the wisest man that ever lived, and so much more. Everything the human heart could desire and accomplish, he did. He wove a very beautiful web. But the promise was, he cut the strand. He became disobedient. He broke the moral covenant of God's relationship with him. Solomon could have enjoyed the banquet blessings of God all the days of his life, but he chose rather to feast on the filth of this world. Ecclesiastes is his autobiography and confessional. He is older when he writes it to his people and us. He relates how he lived his life apart from God's moral and spiritual law, though he knew, and how it was all vanity, it was all empty, like a web lying in the dust at the bottom of an old barn. May I show you some things that are fascinating to me? Go back a couple of pages to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and look at verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. He begins by identifying his point to life. Now chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He said, I am just going to give myself to pleasure. And then he says, this also is just vanity. Let's pick it up in verse 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He's headed south, folks. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. Man after my own heart. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not any heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He had it all, folks. He did it all. He tried it all. Verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Folks, he had it all, and he tried it all, and he said, there's no profit in what I did. Now I want you to go to the last chapter in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. At the very end of this book, he says this, the last two verses, verse 13 and 14. He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, this whole matter of life. Let's hear the conclusion of this whole thing about life. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what he's saying? I cut the strand. And when I did, my life was all empty. He says, fear God, keep his commandments. Solomon wove a beautiful web, but he eventually cut the strand between he and God. Second of all, America is rapidly cutting the strand to God. America is becoming a lecherous country. And that is amazing because according to Mr. Gallup, 80% of Americans claim to be Christians. How can so many claim to be Christians and our morals be so low and our country be given over to violence? I give you two reasons. First of all, the word is out today, especially in Christian circles, that you can be a Christian anytime you want to be in any way that you want to be. Just join up. And ladies and gentlemen, that is so wrong. You can't be a Christian on your terms. There's three things that's necessary for you to be a Christian on God's terms. First of all, you must be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God of sin in your life. Except the Spirit draw you and convict you and convince you of your sin, you can't come to Christ. Folks, that is just what the Bible says. Second of all, there must be true repentance of your sin. What we want is conversion without change. We want to be a Christian, but we don't want to change anything. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Period. Third, there must be an invitation of Jesus in your life as Savior and Lord. Many people name the name and talk the talk, but give no indication of true repentance in their life at all. If Jesus Christ is not a living reality to you, you can put your faith into compartments in your life. And it's something like this. Here is my faith on Sunday morning. Here is my life. I live it the way I want to. Here is my religion. And then here is where I live. When you do that, you cut the strand of righteousness between you and God. Second of all, we have a society without values. Very few are standing up and saying, this is wrong. We are pumping an endless stream of trash into our minds, mainly through the internet. It is incredible what we have gotten used to. And all you have to do is watch the commercials on television now. And you see some things that it hurts your heart, what we are tolerating. It is a reflection of today's values. We live in dangerous times, especially those in their mother's womb. Every day, 4,400 babies are killed in the womb. Every day. In 6 years, we kill as many as Hitler killed Jews. In the year since Roe versus Wade, 65 million babies have been killed. Planned Parenthood met and celebrated Roe versus Wade. And ladies and gentlemen, that is absolute moral insanity. we are rapidly becoming a nation without values. The Nuremberg trials after World War II successfully argued that there was a law above man's laws. It would not be successfully argued today, and that absolutely frightens me. When any society reaches a place of no absolutes, it always moves toward one or of two extremes, and both of them are disastrous. Pleasure or power. One is the clenched fist. The other is the bedroom. One is Adolf Hitler and the other is Hugh Hefner. We are rapidly cutting the strand of righteousness between God and America. And there's only one answer to this dilemma, ladies and gentlemen. Third, as individuals, we must never cut the strand. What will it take to bring this nation back to moral righteousness? Another seminar? Another large church? The only thing that I can see that will bring us back is absolute desperation. A desperation that leads back to true worship. A desperation like Israel felt while they were in Egypt. And the law came down that all the little baby boys were to be killed. They were being beaten under the taskmaster's whips, surrounded by immorality. Because of that, desperation followed and they prayed and God heard their prayer and God sent Moses. We need a desperation that leads to true worship. Most of what you see on television is religious entertainment. And in most churches, there is a studied attempt not to make anybody angry. God help us. Go with me to John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 23. The Lord said this, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Just a couple of quick thoughts. True worshipers, that is, people who are genuinely born again. Second of all, they must have the Spirit of God guiding them. And then in truth, truth that's defended by the Word of God, that book that lies in your lap this morning. As a church, we need to keep the strand of righteousness, truth, and character, and the Spirit of God, keep that intact. God help us. Let's pray. Father, once again, we love you and please forgive us where we fail you. Please forgive us when we know to do right. and we don't do it. And Father, you have given us the instruction that we need from the wisest man that ever lived, not to do certain things that would cut our connection to you. Oh, Father, please forgive us. Help us love people. Help us to be concerned about the country that you have placed us in. And Father, to live a life of righteousness and meaning before our friends and before our family and before our neighbors. Father, please speak to our hearts. Help us to decide that we are going to love you and serve you to the very best of our abilities. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, we give you an opportunity to step out and come forward and kneel.